you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're such a privileged people, Lord, knowing that we have so many heartbeats left and so many breaths left, Father, before our bodies will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. Believing, Father, right here in this little congregation, you have your bride. And Father, you have your children that are having their hearts turned back to the hearts of the apostolic fathers. And believing, Father, that we have not just heard, but we have actually recognized and acted upon the Word of God. And believing, Father, that we have not come to just talk the token, but we've come to apply it. Amen. So, Father, be with us tonight as we would truly open our hearts again to hear from Thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated now. This evening, we'll do a little bit of reading from Brother Ram's sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And this is the last of his pretext dialogue as he goes to the Lord in a word of prayer before reading his text. And this is number 11 in our series. And we're going to pick up at paragraph 47. He says, now this morning, the Lord willing, by his grace and grace, by his help and grace, I got quite a bunch of questions here, or scriptures rather. And now before we approach it, we're going to bring the message now by God's grace. First, a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, speaking to this body of the church, that they should hold together with God's unchanging hand, their absolute, the word, warning them as Paul warned his flock that there'd be wolves enter in. You're the same God today as you were then, and that enemy is still the same. May this fellowship and the bonds of love always exist amongst these people in Christ Jesus. Help this morning, Lord, as we read thy word. May the Holy Spirit reveal it to us that the church might be fully established in the faith that was once delivered to the saints, to hold them. And may, as you gave the vision some 2 years ago to store up food, fine, healthy-looking vegetables I saw in the vision being stored here in the tabernacle, may we today receive a whole barrel full of that, grant it, Lord, or a tape load, that it might reveal Jesus Christ to us in the hour that we're living, to give us sustaining strength and spiritual strength for the task that lay ahead. Grant it, Father. Bless these thy children. They're in here this morning from many different parts of the nation, a hot, sticky morning, but yet we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in all of this. And we think of John Wesley and Calvin and Sankey and Knox and Finney and many of those even without an electric fan, where people sat in those halls and perspiration running down their faces, the women well covered and dressed sat in the audiences and perspired till their clothing was soaking wet, listening to the Word of God, feeding their souls. Now, we feel, Lord, that they are at rest somewhere yonder, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Keep us together, Father. Let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us and give us long life of service for you. Give us this great message that this morning that we're expecting out of thy word, that we might go to each heart. Make the lips that speak, Lord, speak truth. Make the heart that hears be fertile to receive truth. And may it grow into great trees of eternal life to be shining lights and red epistles of all men, that they might know that Jesus Christ has raised from the dead and lives among us. Make us so full of love and the fruit of the Spirit until other men and women, boys and girls, can see the results of the life of Christ still living in us after 2,000 years from the great event. Grant it, Father, to honor thee, we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Now, that was a really wonderful prayer. And I like the direction Brother Branham was bringing to the people and petitioning God in this prayer. He mentioned that there would be wolves creeping into the message and would try to separate the brethren. He also mentioned the dedication of the believers in ages gone by where the people did not have the conveniences that we have today, and yet they would sit there in sweltering weather just to hear the Word of God. And finally, he mentioned a life of service, a life that would attract others to want to know Christ because of what they see in our life. Now, those three requests, we could take the whole evening tonight just to look into each one of them. But I think I may encapsulate the entire prayer into one sentence, placing all three requests into one, if our Lord is gracious to open our hearts to understand. His prayer was that the people in their life would have such love for this word and for one another that they would never think of separating from this word and the group of people who love this word. Amen. Now, those people in the days of Wesley, Sankey, Finney, and Knox, they were very disciplined people. And as I mentioned to Brother Vail a few months before he went off the scene, you cannot be a disciple without discipleship, because discipline is the root for disciple. And when I said this to Brother Vail, he said, "Oh," he said, "I must remember that. That's very good. Sister Lois, could you write that down for me?" Now, that's what Brother Branham made mention of here when he spoke on how those people back there, without any of the luxuries that we have today with air conditioning sanctuaries and air conditioning in our homes and in our offices and in the stores we go to, we really don't know how good we have it in this Western society. But I'd love for every one of you to come with me to Africa sometime to experience the heat, to experience the humidity, the insects, and the dust. You know, the Bible tells us where much is given, much will be required. That's what Jesus Christ himself said in Luke 12. In Luke chapter 12, if you'd open your Bibles, we'll read from verse 34 to 48. Notice in verse 34, he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, I think it's interesting that that this is the hour that the spirit and ministry of Elijah is supposedly, or it was supposed to, really deal with the hearts of men. Because this is the hour that the hearts of the children are to be turned back to the apostolic fathers. And if that be so, then we should also see when those hearts are genuinely turned back to the same fruits in this church as we saw in the first church age. Now, therefore, if the church that was ministered to by the apostolic fathers wrote a book of Acts after it, then we should see the same thing when this group of believers that is now living is fully turned back into the hearts of the apostolic fathers' teaching. And we know that that is what the ministry of Elijah's spirit is to do in this hour. He took us back to the Alpha because he said the Alpha has become Omega. And we know Brother Brown, we all call Brother Brown the Elijah, but he really wasn't. Brother Brown said, "The Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ," but he used a man. All right. So, anyway, so we see that the teaching of the Holy Spirit in this hour is to restore the hearts of the children to the fathers. That's the ministry of Elijah in this hour. That's Malachi 4. From the masterpiece, Brother Branham said, "The Alpha has become Omega. The first become the last, and the last is the first. The seed that went in has come through a process and become a seed again," or become the seed again. "The seed that fell in the Garden of Eden and died there, come back from that imperfect seed that died there, come back to the perfect seed, the second Adam. The first Eve that fell and was used in the second Reformation or the second coming as bringing forth a child, now has become a true bride again. The seed, right back with the original word again. The Alpha and Omega is the same. He said, 'I am Alpha and Omega.' He never said anything in between. 'I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last.' That's it. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same." Well, ministry of who? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in Jesus, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Paul, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in William Branham, it was the same. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the last message is the same thing. I was in Alpha, I'm in Omega. In other words, there had to be presence in both. The pillar of fire was on the scene in both. "There'll be a day that won't be called day or night, but in the evening time it shall be light." See, Alpha and Omega, it's become the first and the last. Oh, my brethren, we could stay hours on that. Now, I'd like to ask the question, now, if the ministries are the same, and he said that they are, then the ministry of the Holy Spirit in that first church age was supposed to repeat again in this hour, right? Okay, did it? Absolutely it did. What? Then if the apostolic teaching in the first age produced the book of Acts in the first age, then might I ask the question, where is the book of Acts in this church age? Where is it? In Brother Branham's message called the Philadelphia Church Age, Brother Branham said, now, what did he do in the first chapter of Revelations? He revealed his supreme deity to the first church, Ephesus. Is that right? But now notice, every one of those churches coming down through here, he revealed himself in deity only in his glorified form, but in this last one, he becomes Z, back to the original beginning again. See, the first and the last. The first age, now the last age. For he said, I am the first and I am the last. And but you, how did that happen? What fellow put that forth? It was a revelation. Many of you here has received it because I'm going to say something. Now look, his entire church is built upon divine revelation of him. Is that right? If you don't believe that, let's turn to Matthew 16 and 18. You'll see just in a minute that the whole revelation is built upon himself. His whole church is built upon the revelation of himself. Now, let's begin here. Let's begin at the 14th verse. And some said, thou art John the Baptist. Well, that was the question. The question was, Jesus said on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked the disciples, who do man say I, the Son of Man, am? 13th verse. Matthew 16, 13. Now they said, now watch, here's the first place to the church Jesus ever spoke of, and on into the revelation is the last. And he said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, and others one of the prophets. He said unto them, the whole entire group, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answering said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh my. And Jesus answering said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh my, you never got this from a seminary. There was no other way you ever got this, Simon, the son of Jonas. The only way you got it was a spiritual revelation that was revealed to you from heaven that I am he. Jesus said, if you don't believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. That's exactly right. I am he. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. What is it? Spiritual. The spiritual truth, the word of the Lord. Now notice, upon this revelation, I will build my church. Right? So, if the church in the Alpha was built on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the church in the Omega will be built on the same revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, if it was the Godhead, understanding the Godhead, there's one God had a son. If you can understand that God was in Christ and that's what built the first church, then that's what builds the last church. Amen. That's what he's saying. Now we find out that this great revelation that God gave here to the church in the last days, that God sent and reveals himself, the open doors, continuing with Brother Branham here, open door between the two ages. It wasn't in the Laodicean age, neither was it in other ages, the Philadelphia age, but it was in between the lap over, because I'll prove it in just a little further down and you'll get it. You see, we'll make it rich so sure that you can't keep from seeing it if you just want to see it. See? All right? Now, the revelation of himself is where he's built his church. How many knows that to be true now? He built a church upon the revelation of himself. Okay, we're continuing on with Philadelphia church age. Brother Brown continues in paragraph 54, and he says, all right now. Now, what did he say? No man can shut it. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. What is an open door? The revelation of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. What did he say to the first church age back there? Back in this age, he said, I am he that was, which is, and shall come. I am the first and the last. I am the Almighty. He said it three different times. Made himself deity to this first church here because he went into the last church age. He said, I've set before you an open door. If you want to see the revelation, here it is, where he built his church. And the only way he could take his church is back to the revelation of what he is truly. Okay, now, if the only place that he could build his church in the last age is by the same way that he built his church in the first age, he said it was by the revelation of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ, that the revelation spoken by Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Therefore, outside of this true revelation that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, which is the supreme deity of Jesus Christ, then outside of this revelation, you cannot even consider yourself to be part of his end time church. And if that revelation is what establishes church in the Alpha, then it is through that same revelation that the church in the Omega will be established also. Now, are you with me so far? Then no group outside of this message can call themselves the church of the living God. Period. Furthermore, then no church within the embodiment of those who believe the message of Malachi 4 can call themselves the church of the living God unless they have that same revelation. And that revelation, again, as spoken by Peter, was? Well, Jesus and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh my. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, let me say this. If the first church age, church, was built upon that revelation, and the last church is built upon that revelation, and if he tells us in 2 John, he that hath not the doctrine of Christ, he that hath not, he that echoes not the doctrine of Christ, echoes not God. But he that hath, he that echoes the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. He echoes both the Father and the Son. He hath. And without having that revelation, you cannot call yourself a member of the body of the end time church. Then it is this revelation to those who claim to believe it that God has built his church. Right? So we're talking tonight. Tonight we're only talking to those then who claim to believe this revelation. Now, with that said, let's examine further that first church, the Alpha Church. Because if the revelation of Jesus Christ is built upon that church, or built that church, then that same revelation is to build the Omega Church. Are you still with me? Okay, then where do we go from here? Well, we need then, where do we go then? Well, from the message, from the beginning, it wasn't so, Brother Branham said. Jesus said at the beginning, the works that I do, shall you do also. And I know people are going to say, well, here he's hitting that John 14:12 thing again. Just listen to the quote, please. Jesus said at the beginning, the works that I do, shall you do also. That's the way it was at the beginning. What kind of works did he do at the beginning? The same works that he's doing now. What kind of church did he have at the beginning? A church that was filled with the Spirit, that healed the sick and prophesied and great signs and wonders, and it wasn't ashamed of the religion. They shouted and danced under the Spirit like drunk men. They had cloven tongues like fire set upon them, and they done signs and wonders and exploits followed them. That's the kind it was at the beginning. That's the kind it'll be in the middle. That's the kind, that'll be the kind it'll be at the last. You say, my church don't teach that. Well, it wasn't so from the beginning. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. It wasn't so from the beginning. I'm a Lutheran. It wasn't so from the beginning. They were baptized saints of God with the Holy Ghost. That's what the beginning was. Signs and wonders. You say, my church don't believe in it. It wasn't so from the beginning. My church don't believe in seeing visions. It wasn't so from the beginning. Now, let's go back to Luke again. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And be yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be you therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Then Peter saith unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant says in his heart, there's your heart again, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and drink and be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him,
and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself. Let me read this again. And that servant, he's talking about the ones who have been appointed. Let me read again. The Lord of that servant will come in the day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with fewer stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men shall have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now listen. If God built his church in Alpha based on the revelation of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ, and he does so again in this last hour, then to whom much is given, much will be required. Now notice, to whomsoever much is given, much will be required. So for those who believe they have the revelation of Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ is not living and abiding in them, they will be found wanting. From his message, Return and Jubilee, Brother Branham said, but in order to be a son of God, you've got to be born of the Spirit of God. Then you become Christ-like and do the works of Christ. Then you're not funny to them people. A human acting like a human, it's not funny. And a Christian acting like a Christian, born of the Spirit, you see the Pentecostal group at the beginning, that same Pentecostal group acts the same way if it's born of the same Spirit, because it's born. That's why today that people doesn't understand the church. And the church has begun to grow cold and formal, getting after creeds and things and leaving off the following of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, brethren, do you seek God's will? Do you seek the Holy Spirit for guidance in everything that you do? You sisters, before you put on your clothing, do you ask God? Do you seek the Holy Spirit? Father, is it your will that I dress this way? And if something comes back and pricks you in here, you know who's talking. And again from his message, stature of a perfect man. Brother Bram said, and now we're supposed to do his works. He said, he that believeth on me, St. John 14, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. You're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. Now, there's the trouble. We find those things happening, you know it. I know it. We see these stumbles all along the road. We find the scrap heaps of ministers, of Christians, piled along the road is because they didn't go into it right. And that's why I'm here this morning, is to try to teach this little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. How many would like that? Like to be like that? The dwelling place of the living God. Now let me tell you something. If you look at the progression of this message, we find back in the 60s and 70s, a very Pentecostal kind of atmosphere in this message. It was just one big message. Everybody was kind of happy and everybody's looking for the Lord to do things. And Brother Branham said, we're trying, so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. And so when they tried to do the works of Christ, because it was very Christ-centered, very works-oriented, but they didn't have the reflection of Christ in here. They weren't living the life. They weren't committed. They weren't live, die, sink, or drown, as Brother Bram said. They weren't prepared. They didn't understand. The church hadn't been built yet. We know that the prophet was here building, giving forth the revelation of Jesus Christ, but how many people understood? How many people really had grasped a hold that there's a Son of God who the Father dwelt in, and He received His life from the Father, and He lived His whole life. He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." And so we saw in a prophet, William Branham, a man committed to do so, and we saw the works following. Because he had the reflection first. He had the life first. He had live, die, sink, or swim. Or sink or drown, as Brother Branham put it. But then when people tried to produce, and they weren't living the life, they weren't consecrated, they weren't dedicated, they didn't have discipline, so they couldn't be disciples. But they called themselves that anyway. And we saw failure after failure, and so they just gave up. And so then they just turned to doctrine. And you have doctrine in every corner of this message. False doctrines, true doctrine. And you see, when Jesus, because of the unbelief when He went to His hometown, the Bible says because of their unbelief He could perform no miracle. So He reverted to teaching. And so for the last 20-some years, we've reverted to teaching. Now, it's not all bad. But the fact of it is, brother, sister, Brother Branham said, made a statement in around 1960. He said, the rapture is 50 years overdue. 50 years overdue. God is waiting on us. Now, I believe Brother Vail spent his entire last 3 decades. He taught. Brother Vail taught faith like nobody else could. Well, Brother Bosworth probably did. But Brother Vail was a disciple of Brother Bosworth and a disciple of Brother Branham. But he taught faith in the 60s and 70s and found people didn't have faith to even get a hangnail healed. So he reverted to teaching doctrine. And doctrine he did. And he did a great job. And he tried to build the Church of Jesus Christ on the revelation of Jesus Christ on the Godhead. Now, I would say most people that followed his ministry have a understanding. Whether it's a true revelation or not, I don't know. But they at least have the mental framework, you know, an understanding of the doctrine of Christ. So the church is built. Now, if the church is truly built, then it will produce the same as the first church did. If the church is not truly built, then it's because it's an intellectual understanding and not the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because Brother Branham said the first church was built on that revelation and the last church was built on that revelation. And Peter died for that revelation. And you know what? In the book of Acts it says that people lined the streets waiting for Peter to walk down those streets so that his shadow could fall on them and they could be healed. Now, Peter was not the messenger for the age. He was a brother. John was not the messenger for the age, but he was a brother. They were part of that early church. Now, brother, sister, the revelation has been brought. But if the revelation only tells you in an intellectual way that you've got something others don't got, that's not it. But when you can see that Jesus Christ is the pattern, that His life, the life of the Father was in Him, and Paul said, he said, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken this mortal body. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if it quickens it, it means it makes it alive. Alive to who? Alive to God. Alive to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Now, this is where I've been trying to turn the church into the right direction for the past 7 years. I began trying to get the church to see that it is not enough to have the right doctrine. You must have the life that goes with the doctrine. It is not enough to know about Christ. You've got to know Him in the power of His resurrection. It's not enough to know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've got to have it and apply it. It's not enough to know about the token. And this is the hour for the token, but Brother Branham said, this is the hour that the token must be applied. And so we have the token and the token. The token is Christ, and He is here. And the token is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what good does it do you to know that He's here if you haven't applied it in your daily life, in your daily living? What good does it know to do you to say that you have been born again and filled with the Spirit of Christ if there's no evidence in your life that you're even filled with His Spirit? Pulling deals and everything else. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. And so just what are the fruits of the Spirit? Well, Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And this same Paul, who wrote this in chapter 5, verse 22, also said in 4:22, He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am alive, but it's not me that's living, it's Christ living in me. That, brothers and sisters, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Brown said, what is the true baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, it's the revelation of Christ personally to you. Amen. And that makes you the center of the whole thing, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, these are the nine fruits of the Spirit. But there is one missing, and it is a fruit, Brother Branham said, that was the teaching of the season. So there are 10 fruits of the Spirit, and all must be manifested and on display, or the husband who's been on his journey, when he comes home, or when he comes, he shall find even one of them missing. You'll be put away as an adulterous woman. Remember the parable of the 10 silver coins that we spoke of in the parable of Christ series? In Luke 15 and verse 8, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Now she had the 9 fruits of the Spirit, the 9 coins, but the 10th one, the teaching for the season, was missing, and she turned over everything in desperation until she found that one coin. But what if you got that one coin? You've got the doctrine of Christ, but you haven't got the other 9. See, Brother Brandt said, you can have the right doctrine, but if your heart isn't right, I'd rather be in the position of the one who's missing the one coin than the one who's missing 9 coins. Yeah, that's what he said, because he said, it'll be worse for you if you've got the doctrine right, but your heart's not right. You see, if you've got that one coin, the doctrine of Christ, you've got it. You've got the doctrine right. But your heart doesn't have the 9 fruits of the Spirit. And remember what those are. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. And so we boast. Well, we've got the right teaching. We've sat under the right teacher. We've got the doctrine of Christ. And we're lacking 9 of the coins. You're in worse shape. And that's why Brother Branham said, until you have the reflection of Christ, you will not see John 14:12. You're not ready for it. Brother Branham spent hours before each meeting in prayer before God. He spent hours fasting and in prayer. He had not only a dedicated life, he had a consecrated life. Can you say, my life is consecrated? I'm not looking at anybody in particular, I'm just asking you. Can you say, my life is consecrated? Well, you that have the doctrine of Christ ought to know better. You ought to have the 9 fruits of the Spirit in addition to the teaching of the hour, but do you? You act as though the 10th coin is the only one that's needed. But that is like calling yourself a Christian, but not identified in the fellowship of His suffering. Well, I'm going to have to quit now before I get myself into more trouble. But let me just tell you this. If you believe the revelation of Jesus Christ, but you're not a true Christian, because the name Christian means Christ-like, and if you cannot truly say in your heart that you're a true Christian, identified by the life of the Lamb, and if the resurrection power of Christ is lacking, will you bow your heads in prayer at this time? Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently, Lord, we come before You, Father, because We do know in our heart we do have the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is alive in our life. We see that your Son Jesus was the pattern. But Father, we're lacking in love. Or Lord, we're lacking in joy or peace or gentleness, Father. Sometimes we're not so gentle. Or Father, long-suffering and patience and being tolerant of others, Lord, that have not the light that we have. Father, we would ask you that you would help us, O God, to look at that crown and to examine ourselves every day. Do we have the love and the joy and the peace and the gentleness and the goodness and the patience and the long-suffering? Do we have these things, Father, manifesting in our life? Because if we don't, Father, we need to start doing like the woman in the parable, turning over every leaf, turning over everything and looking until we find it. So, Father, we ask that you would help us, Lord, to manifest what it means to be a Christian. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, they say the only real way to be successful in losing weight is to weigh yourself every day. Right? Well, the only real way to find yourself living a truly a Christian life, put those 9 fruits of the Spirit and the 10th one, put them up in your house somewhere. Someplace that when you're coming in and you're going out, you can look at them. You can say now, Father, I feel I'm a gentle person. I've got real peace, Lord, but sometimes I don't have the love I should. Sometimes I don't have the patience. Sometimes I don't have the long suffering. Would you help me to be consistent, Father? Because I'm walking where Jesus walked. And I want the same attributes, the same DNA, the same characteristics being displayed from my life as was in His. Well, God bless you all. I really love you. And I believe the Lord was here tonight. I believe that His word spoke. It was short, but to the point. Let's just close in word or in song. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed.